Good morning, brothers. It's a blessing to be here this morning with our friends and beloved loved ones of Abundant Life Christian Fellowship. Last night there was a few brothers that told me I shouldn't forget my notes this morning, and I just want to clear that up a little bit. I didn't forget my notes last Sunday. I wasn't prepared to share the opening until we was in the prayer room, and then Brother Steve prayed for Dan, Brother Dan, and I still thought it was another Dan. There's three of us there. So at 9:30, I asked Steve if I was supposed to share, and he said, yeah. So I got up, and I had an outline of what I was going to share, and that's all I had. So if you was there last Sunday, you might have heard the outline of what I shared last Sunday. So today, maybe you can hear the message, because I was planning on sharing the same thing. And I went home, and I had a half an hour to gather my thoughts, and I was pretty shook up a little bit. But you know, I told the Lord, I just give myself to the Lord, and I said, you can make a message out of this. And you know, I found peace at that moment, and even though I have some more notes this morning, I still feel in need. So you can just lift me up in prayer, and why don't we just bow our head for a minute, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, just bow before you this morning, Lord. Just thank you for the prayers that was lifted up. Thank you for the meditation that was shared about that river, Lord, of life. We seek that this morning. Even though we have words before us, Lord, we need you, God, this morning. We need your power. Lord, would you, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, transmit this morning the thoughts that I have on my heart and mind, that you would transmit it to the hearts of the people here, Lord, to each one of us, Father. And even what Brother Marlon will share, Lord, we know that just words on a piece of paper, Lord, is all it is. God, would you come and bless us today? We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it kind of echoing? Is it better? Okay. Why don't we turn to Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. We'll read that for an opening meditation this morning. Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. The last two verses of the Old Testament. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophets, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." We read that this morning, believing this is the last two verses in the Old Testament. And I believe that God himself has a deep burden this morning, that us fathers would be connected to our children, and our children's hearts would be connected to us. God has a deep burden this morning. My question is, do we? That somehow when those who have been lost become born again, that there would be a transmission of truth to this next generation. God would have us to transmit truth to the next generation. And I think this morning our life, our very life, fathers and mothers, when I say fathers, I do mean mothers too this morning. Our way of life is a way of transmitting truth to our children. This message that you have in your life is transmitting truth to your children. The question I would like to ask this morning, if our children would live like we live, and they would love like we love, and their passions would be the same passions that we have this morning, and they would worship the same things that we worship this morning, what would we pass on? There are many things that are worshipped today. Money is worship, wealth, materialism, all these things are worshipped this morning. And yet, it's God's heart. I feel like the last warning that he gives us, his children this morning, is that we would have the hearts of our children and the children would have our hearts as fathers. I know of two men just in the recent years, even recent weeks, I've talked to two older men that have businesses. They have multi-million dollar businesses. They have sons that work for them. And here they are, 70, 170 and 178. And their sons don't want to take over their business. And I had to think of that this morning as I was meditating. Could it be that during the time that their sons were working for them, they didn't transmit a lot of truth and a lot of facts and a lot of things that they need in this life to take over this business? And I know it's just a business. But that's the way it can be with us fathers sometimes. Young fathers here this morning, you're raising your children. And alongside of raising your children is the facts of life. Alongside raising your children are the thoughts that you have about supporting your family and being the breadwinner of your family, and all of these things are competing for your heart and your mind. I understand these two men that I talked to, they want to sell their business. They don't know what they're going to do. And that's just a business. But in the Church of God this morning, there's not this margin of error. We don't have this margin of error for our children. So the last thing that God had written in His Word this morning is that we would have the hearts of our children. He commanded this. And I think it's His very heart. And we know if something is the heart of God this morning, what is it to the devil? It's the opposite. The devil wants to tear it down. He wants to destroy this thing this morning. And I don't think this is something that we just do one time in life and is done. When I was preparing for this, I was thinking of my own life when I was young. I took a little trip back to when I was young, a young lad. And my father did not have my heart, and I did not have my father's heart. I did what I wanted to do. I said what I wanted to say, and I went where I wanted to go. I had an independent spirit. And if we don't have our child's heart this morning, they will have an independent spirit. That independent spirit is a destroyer of families and churches this morning. I had to think of living a life of ruin this morning when I was young. The heartaches that I caused my parents and other people in this life. As I was looking back on these things, I was thinking, knowing what I know today, right now, this very moment, how would have I lived? Would have I done it different? And the answer was yes, I would have. I would have came alongside of my dad back then if I was a young lad. And I would have picked him up. I would have blessed him. I would have walked beside him. I would have done those things that he wanted me to do. I would have been that young man that had given my heart to him. And you know, maybe we're here today. Maybe you're an older person. Maybe you're middle age. Maybe you're young. This message is for those who are 10, 12 to 60, if there's anyone here 60 today. May we have not given our hearts fully to our children, and they have not given their hearts fully to us. You know, there are signs, I think, of watch out for signs of your children losing interest in the things that you are interested in. Losing interest in the places you want to go and to do those things that you want to do. Because I think back in my life, at 13 years of age, I quit leaving with my parents. They would leave. The family would go places, and I was 13 and 14, and I stayed home. I did not have the interest of my dad and mom. I didn't want to go where they went. But you know, it was a lot of heartaches in my life that brought on a lot of heartaches. So I have a question this morning. Fathers, did you give your hearts to your children? Children, did you give your heart to your father? And when I say this again, I mean mothers and daughters also. Sons and daughters. You know, we heard the saying this morning that our children, they do largely view God as they watch us. They understand God sometimes how they understand their father, their earthly dad. Today, many young people are struggling with the concept of God. They have a wrong view of God because of their father. The world is crying for fathers today. The church is crying for fathers today. Godly fathers. My heart this morning is there would just be an exhortation that we would have a burden and we would get a burden. Unless you have the heart of your child, you will not be able to transmit truth to your child. Young people, I know each one of you here is a blessing today. And I shared this last Sunday. I don't even feel right sharing that here today with young people. It's not, my message today is not here taking a magnifying glass to your life and seeing all your faults and your wrongs. It's not that. Even in the moment of our life, when fruit's coming out of our lives and the glory of God's coming out of our lives, it's not a time, I think, of that time to sit back and to adore it or to look at it into, not sure of the right words there, but while we're going through this life and fruit's coming out of our lives, and we're a blessing. I found in my own life, young and old, that thing needs to be maintained. It can't be something that we just build it up and let it go down. I had to think of this morning of a beautiful, I shared this last Sunday, of a beautiful ship with large sails. And they have this post coming up the center of this ship, and the sails are tied to this ship, and these sails are guiding this boat. And it's a magnificent thing. But you know when you see a sail ship like that, you only see the top part of that ship. We don't see the bottom part of that ship. And the truth of the matter is, those sail ships, a lot of them have engines on them to control it, to help them out when there's no wind. And oil needs to be maintained in that engine. There needs to be coolant in those engines. All those things that run that ship need to be maintained. And a large part of our life that we live, people see the outside of us. They see us, and we can be in a terrible a place in our life, and yet our outside can shine. Is that true? But it's more important this morning that our insides would be real and true, and we would maintain that closeness with God. And you can do that this morning, young person, by loving your father and your mother. Let's not focus on the fruit that we have in our lives today, but give an energy and prayer and meditation on maintaining it. There's a saying that I said, many of you probably heard me say it. If the light that is shining upon us is brighter than the light that is in us, it will destroy us. God wants us to have a light, but that light is the Holy Spirit, I believe, leading us. It is giving us a pathway forward. It's not to be adored and to be worshipped. And also, fathers, I know each one of you in here today is a blessing. It's just an exhortation this morning. You know, how many times do we get distracted as fathers? The Bible says to turn our hearts, which actually means to return our hearts time and time again to a passion and a zeal for our children. No one's going to go to bat for our children. You ever think of that, older people? It's us. We're going to do it. If they're going to make it to the next life, it's going to be the energy and zeal that we put into it and not someone else. Again, whatever God commands, the devil is going to resist. And if God commanded that we turn our hearts, the devil is going to resist. You know, there's sometimes I think I have it figured out, and it's going good, and it's just something that we just need to revisit time and time again. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I'm not really going to share a whole lot this morning how to get your child's heart. But I know, and not even in sharing a lot about how to lose your child's heart, but there are a few things I think about this verse. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, there are times in your life when maybe one of your children, they're younger or older, they're not doing what you want them to do. And you know, a way to win their heart in that situation is not to provoke them. I had to think of, as I'm 50 years old, if Brother Marlon would come to me and he would point out my fault in front of me, in front of all you guys, and he would do it in a way that was demeaning, he would never get my heart. And as a father, you know, our children would never get, we'll never get our heart, the heart of our child if we do the same thing. So let's not provoke our children to wrath. and say, fathers, be personal this morning and on purpose. Care what's going on in the heart of your children. Have a connection there. And if we don't have a connection with our children when they're younger or at any moment, when we see them go through a difficult time or a valley, if we don't have their heart, it's going to be difficult to connect to that heart. It's going to be difficult to be that high priest that they need at that time in their life. I've heard it said before. I'm just saying a lot of things that we heard this morning. The most important things a father can do is to love his wife, their mother. And when I think back to my young age, I find that to be very, very true. It brings great stability to the child's heart if he sees the father loving the mother. Because I think back, you know, my dad and mom weren't converted, and there was many, many hard times, and there was many times when I seen my father, it looked like he didn't love my mother. But I understand that now more than I do today, and it brought instability in my life. And that's why I think a mother sometimes has an insight into a child's heart. Being with them every day, all day long, there's a connection made. And you know, recently I've talked to a handful of brothers. We were just in a room talking, and I asked them how their relationship is between them and their father. And many of these were first-generation Christians that didn't have parents that were converted. And you know, a high percentage of them answered that it's not really like they want it to be. That there's just something amiss. There's just a little bit of, they can't figure it out. And it just gave me a burden this morning. I think what's happening is, I believe it's simply the resistance of the devil. You know, when we get down to the matter of this thing, all it takes is two hearts melted by love, by the love of God, just to open up and connect. And, you know, I understand that. I think us first generation Christians that came through a life like that, we struggle sometimes. We really do. We struggle. Maybe we don't think we do, but we struggle with keeping that and maintaining that in our own heart. But that's not to say the next generation of Christians here that were born or that were raised up under parents that were born again and had the Spirit, that's not to say you guys are going to just sit back and take it easy. I think they're still going to be maintaining that. And for some of us older fathers here, we had older children, we have older children, we have married children, we have grandchildren. We learn that as the children get older, I think we spent more time on our face before God. I think that to be true this morning. And so I would say to the young families here this morning, when your children are young, spend time on your face before God. We've often heard this familiar story. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We understand that this morning. I think a mother spends a lot of time with the children. And there is a connection made, and that's okay. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord for that. But it seems like here God's message is in his word is that us fathers would be tuned into that. We would have that, the hearts of our children. So again, fathers, we need to have a burden for our children. This is a plea to turn our hearts to our children. I had to think, be done with lesser things. And again, I'm not insinuating here that you haven't been doing this or you haven't done this, but that we could just commit our heart again today to maintaining our children's hearts. And this is, I'm going to kind of turn the message out a little bit for the fathers this morning, just to the children here this morning, sons and daughters. When I say son, I mean daughter. And if I say daughter, I mean son this morning. So giving your heart to your father is wise, no matter what peer pressure or others say. There is a protection there this morning. There is a keeping of a lifelong of hurts. I had to think of a lifelong of hurts that you have to deal with later. Unstable emotions to try to sort out later. The devil wants to make you, young person this morning, independent way sooner than you are wise enough to do. So think of that. Keep that in mind this morning. I'm sure that you heard the saying that hindsight is 20/20. And I had to think, maybe in some worldly things that could be true this morning. We learn by our mistakes. But I tell you, when there is a soul involved this morning, an eternal soul, hindsight is not 20/20. The Bible says that we need a foresight to have a vision. That's what this means. A vision means to have a foresight. We can't afford to learn by hindsight when we're talking about the souls of our children this morning. And many of us have. I think many of us older fathers, I think I learned a lot from hindsight this morning. But God is gracious. And if we have a father this morning that's here, and maybe we do things wrong, but if our heart is turned toward God and to doing what he wants, God will see us through. Many of us fathers learned a lot from hindsight, and we're here today to say, that's why older parents can say, no daughter, no son, this is not going to work out right. And when we say those things, young people, we're not just taking a hip shot. If you know what a hip shot is this morning, it's not having a vision or something in sight, it's just shooting from here. And when we say things this morning as parents, I'm sure a lot of times we repeat ourselves, and maybe sometimes you think we've heard this, we know this, but when we say these things, it's because we have a vision. It's something that we've learned from our past. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is the promise right here, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. Proverbs 4:1 says, hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Proverbs 4:11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. Hearken unto your father. That means to obey him. Listen to him. Respond to him. You know, just to obey and listen is one thing, but to respond is another thing this morning. Connect to him. Listen. And more importantly is to respond. I had to think this morning, the young people, there's probably young people that go to bed at night with a burden on their heart, with hurts, with longings. And I had to think this morning, you don't have to carry that burden alone. There was a time in my life as an older man with children married and grandchildren, and I was carrying a burden on my heart. It was a burden that I carried for years, and it began to wear me down, began to tear me down. And I remember going to God many times. When I would go to God, I wasn't praying to him for his will to be done. I was praying to God that my will would be done. And young people, you can go through the same thing in your life. When you're praying for something, when you're seeking for something, make sure it's your Heavenly Father's will and your Father's will. But I was going through this time in my life, and I had a great burden, and everything become dark. The world become different. And I felt alone. I had a burden. You know, one night, in the middle of the night, I got on my face before God. I said, God, I can't handle this burden anymore. I don't want to live no more. You know, that night, God spoke to me and said, I never intended you for you to carry that burden all alone. Give it to me. Trust in me. And you know, that night, I give that burden to God. I trusted him for the first time in a few years for my future. And today that has continued. Since I give that burden to God, I've never picked it up again. I walked away from it. I had to think, young person, if you're here today, you have a burden on your heart. that you cannot bear it anymore. Give it to your Heavenly Father. Also give it to your Father. He knows how to navigate you through this situation in life. We don't live to be 50 years old and not go through things. And I think if we're 50 years old and we haven't learned anything, then it's not good either. Young children, give your heart to your Father at a young age, because it will set you up for a lifelong of being orderly, a lifelong of blessings, a lifelong of joy, lifelong of peace. I also think if you do this at a young age, it sets you up to giving your heart to God at a young age, to give your heart to the church at a young age. It will definitely help break that independent spirit that wrecks churches all over the country. The independent heart that says, no matter what the body agrees on, no matter what God says, my way is better. Young person today, maybe you feel that your father is inconsistent with his devotions, with his discipline, with order, with his emotions, with his patience, all these things. Maybe you see that. That can be okay, and it cannot be okay. But this morning, can you just trust in your Father? Can you give your heart to him this morning for all your needs? Those things that you have a burden for, he can help direct you through them. Because 20 to 30 years from now, you'll look back, you'll know, you'll be able to see it more perfectly. Maybe you see your father stressed, beaten down, his appearance looking ragged, losing heart for the things of God. Maybe he's being impatient. Maybe this stems from you not giving your heart to him. When I speak of this, I'm mainly thinking of my young age with my dad. You know, maybe I was a problem for my dad going through some of the things that he went through in life. Son, daughter, your duty is to come under him, your father, and to pick him up this time. You can be a great asset to him and not a burden. Also, young people, love your mother who travailed for you in birth. Bless them. I want to take time, this moment right here, for each one of us fathers in here who did not live up to your expectations, who might have hurt you, who might have failed you, who might have let you down, who might have disappointed you this morning. We're all going to say sorry. Is that right, fathers? We're sorry. Can you forgive us? Are you willing to commit this morning? Are you willing this morning to commit getting under your parents and to get rid of that lofty notion of independence? The only way that hindsight is 20/20 is to be able to see everything played out beforehand. And then you can do it perfectly, right? We think of that. And that's why God has parents this morning. Sometimes what we tell you children is a life of things already played out. We can see every trail. We can see every valley. We can see all these things are going to happen. So that's a perfect vision right there. When we give you instructions, we've been there. We've seen it. We've tried it. We've done it. This is what your father and mother are saying when they give you instructions. That we've been there, we've seen it. They're trying to bring you up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. Young person, seek after God. Pursue him on purpose. Surrender your heart. Seek after a sanctified and honorable life. Oh, to have a willing heart to be instructed this morning. Also, to build a resistance to the things of this world. To have a restraint. This world doesn't know resistance. They don't know what restraint is. There's no one going to protect you in this life. You can go into the world and you can experience about everything in the world that you want. If you don't build a life of resistance and restraint to the things of this world, you will go downstream. You know, for my own life, it took a long time for me to learn a lesson. If someone would admonish me or exhort me, that it was not belittling me. It was not to set me behind. It was not a personal attack. But it was instructions to bring life. You know, if I could have learned that at a earlier age, even after I was born again, if I could have learned that at an earlier life, I would have had more of a blessed life. But it was the instructions to bring life now and in the future. But we don't learn well when we're independent. So learn to take instruction. It builds character in your life. It's part of who you become. we can take instructions. You know, there was a time in my life when I was 29 years old. I got converted at the age of 27. And when I got converted, I have to say, everything in my life changed. My thoughts changed. My way of living changed. My words changed. My heart changed. But I was a new creature in Christ. And I walked like that for a little while. But you know, even at that, something was nagging on my heart. Something began to nag at me. And I think it was God. And I want to, this morning, I just, we need to be so thankful that God is persistent this morning. And He begins to work something in your life. And He begins to tear that part of your life down that He wants rebuilt. Even though I was converted, not all things were new. The Bible says all things are new. I don't want to take away from the Word. But there was something there in my life. And I was born again at 27. By the age of 29, I didn't know what it was until later. But God was telling me to call my dad and give my heart to my dad at 29. And in Isaiah, or in Matthew, in Luke 1:12. Luke 1, verse 13 says, "But the angel said to him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God." This was a prophesying of Zacharias to the new church. "And he shall go before him in spirit and in power, in the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom and the just, just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So when God began to nag at me, this is what was happening. I was a new creature in Christ, and this prophecy needed to be fulfilled. He wanted me to turn my heart to my dad. He nagged at me for 2 years. And you know, my heart was, I was resisting because I thought my dad was older. My dad should come to me. He should initiate this thing so that we could get right between us. It's not that I hated my dad, but we just didn't have each other's hearts. So I continued to resist, and God would nag, and He would call, and He would knock. And He was persistent. And I kept putting it off, and I kept putting it off, and I kept putting it off. I remember the day I was in the barn working, and God, it was a Saturday morning, and God was still persistently trying to get me to call my dad. And I heard, I didn't hear a voice, but my heart was screaming, "Cry your dad, call your dad, call your dad." I remember walking toward the house that morning. I got halfway to the house. I stopped and I thought, you know, if I think back, I was probably just a little bit annoyed. But I remember getting my phone out and I said, "I'm going to call my dad." But at the same time, when I was planning on calling my dad, I knew that my dad would probably be in the barn. He wouldn't answer the phone. Mom would answer the phone, and I would prolong. I would just put it off for another time. But God had plans that morning, because when I called home, my dad answered the phone. And I think that was the first time I probably ever talked to my dad on the phone. It was, you know, back in, that would have been in 2005 probably. So phones was a new thing, and my dad wasn't into technology at all. So I called, and my dad answered the phone. He said, "Who is this?" I said, "This is Dan." And he said, "Okay." And we talked a little bit, and then he said, "What can I do? What do you want? What do you need?" And I just said, "Dad, I said I called you this morning to say that I'm sorry. If you haven't given your heart to your father this morning, this is how it can work. This is how you do it." I said, "I'm sorry for all the things that I've done, said, that dishonored you when I was living in your house and not giving you the honor that you deserved. And that was the first time that I said sorry to my dad in 29 years of my life. And that was the first time that I said, I love you, Dad. And that was the first time that we wept together. And that was the first time he told me he loved me. So I know maybe many of you have heard me share that before. But my point of sharing that was when I initiated that conversation, because the Spirit of God was within me for trying to fulfill this prophecy here. When that happened that morning, something happened. Okay, something happened that day. Even though my dad, I don't know if he understood what was happening, but something happened that day. Two hearts that day that was resisting one another for 29 years. Something broke that day. And I'm not saying we had a perfect life after that, but something happened. And I think that's the heart of God this morning. If you're here this morning and maybe your dad has never came to you and said he was sorry. And I hope that's not the case. But if you're a young person here today and you're struggling, you can initiate this thing. God will honor it. Up until that time when we would go home to visit Dad, he would always be in the house with his arms folded, sitting in a chair, not responding. He would go to sleep. You know, within a week or two when my wife and I went home, when I walked into the house, that time was a Saturday evening, I asked Mom, where's Dad? Dad wasn't in the house. And Mom said, he's in the summer house making popcorn. So I think even though at that time in my life, some of the things that my dad done and was doing in his life, it wasn't nothing horrible, but I've made vows in my life that I was never going to do those things. I was never going to be like my dad in that area, in that area, in that area. And so I had this attitude that I knew more than he did, I think. And, you know, he probably sensed that. And even though when I left the Amish church, I went and talked to my dad, I didn't really care how he felt. It was just, Dad, I'm going to do this. And I know he was heartbroken. And there was something missing there. But yet, he loved me. He loved me. He wanted me to be his son, but he didn't know how to do it. Neither did I. But something happened that day when I gave my heart to my dad. You know, and if he wouldn't have received it, I feel like I had done my part. And from that time forth, I think that we had a good relationship. And, you know, I said that was the first time that I said sorry to my dad. And my dad didn't say sorry that day. But years later, when he got sick, he took his hip out. We would go home. One of us would go home every 14 days. My turn was every 14 days. We spent 24 hours with Dad. And during that year and a half, he told me sorry many, many times. So, young child, to run away from the heart of your father is to turn your heart from your father. Your father knows a lot. And if you see your father disinterested, discouraged, beaten down, maybe you need to make the initiative. It might knock a few things loose in your father's heart. Don't lock up your heart. It will be the longest, loneliest journey of your life. Young person, I want to bring you to your senses here for just a moment. I'm going to close. Can you open your ears into your heart? There's something about receiving something from your friend or someone else and taking it to your heart. But the influence of that is not always a good thing. I've heard fathers say this before, and I've said it myself. Will you talk to my child? If they're going through something in life, will you talk to him, encourage him? You know, when this happens, it's a sign that something's broken. I would like for you to think this morning a little bit about your father feeling hopeless at the end of his rope. You know there's something broken down there, and just bring that thing together. When this is going on, I don't think it's time to begin to try to figure out which side is broken. but this two hearts would come together in humility and love and in brokenness and give God the glory. I believe this morning it's as easy as a father and a son or a daughter just to sit down and have a talk. And where repentance is done on both sides, and there's acknowledgement of failures on both sides or in doneness, and just having a deep, great desire to be connected can fix the whole world this morning. They say when the hearts of the children come apart, you heard that, it begins a breakdown of society. So just having a spirit this morning of connecting and being there at all times. Father, spent quality time with your children. It's not always the amount of time that counts, but the quality of time. You heard me and Martin, Denny share this often. One day Dad took us fishing. We remember one day he took us fishing. And none of us ever forgot it. And it's 50 years later, or 45 years later. So those things do matter. Affirming our child time after time. I remember the first time I heard Dad say something good about me. And I'm not sitting here this morning being negative toward my father. He did what he did. I feel like today, knowing what I know, he did a good job. But one day heard me share this. I used to help him every Saturday. Not every Saturday, but when he wanted to, we would go. I'd go with him to work. We'd lay chimneys all over Allen County for people. They needed a chimney. My dad would go and he would lay a chimney free. He wouldn't charge them nothing. He did this time and time again. He had a giving heart. And then one time I heard him tell Mom, you know, Dan, he's a good worker. I didn't know I was a good worker, but he didn't tell me to my face. But, you know, I remember that too, and that's probably 35, 40 years later. So when your children are growing, affirm them. Tell them good things. Let's get a burden and fix this. Young child today, if you're 13 or if you're 20, If you think you know more than your father, I would tell you this morning, I'd beg you to repent of that, because really you don't. I'm going to leave you with a few thoughts this morning. Strive for perfection. Even though you know you may fail, even though you know you're going to fail, strive for perfection. Because I figured out in life, and I'd say most of us older parents here did, that whatever you achieve for, whatever you go after, whatever you esteem in your life, those things that you esteem and lift high, you're going to achieve. So if you strive for perfection, even through your failures, you're going to achieve it. So again, just this is my last quote here. I didn't come here this morning to stir up any young person's heart or any old father's heart, but that if we see a disconnection, that we would just give it all we got. We don't have to wait 10 years down the road. We don't have to wait to get married and move out. These things can happen today. And then when we have it, we need to maintain it. Let's not focus on the fruit that's coming out of our lives today, but the struggles and trials that may come in life. So I don't have much more than that. Just may God bless you all. Thank you for allowing me time to share here. And pray that the Lord could be honored and glorified.